It's time for the Way Highway here on Adobe Radio with your hosts, Sean Cowig and Kristen Sanchez.
Welcome to the Way Highway here on Adobe Radio. This is a cannabis comedy show, so sit back, relax, spark it up if that's your thing. Take a hit of your joint, your bong, your bowl. Maybe you got a Puffco peak. Maybe you're ripping a Pax. Who knows what's going on? Maybe you're vaping. I don't know. All of these things are valid. This is a cannabis comedy show. You're going to get some laughs, and we're going to talk about things like all of those things I just talked about. The voice you're currently hearing echoing inside of your ear chambers is the one and only Sean Cowig. And with me is my cohort in cannabis comedians, the one and only Kristen Sanchez. Hello.
Hi, that's me. Yeah. I'm so excited. Oh my gosh. Just want to let everyone listening know, if you'd like to follow us on social media, you could go ahead and follow Sean at Sean Cowig. You could follow me at Siren16X, and you could follow The Way Highway at Way Highway, or send us an email at wayhighway@adobe.com. Yeah. Let us know what you're feeling, what you're thinking, what's vibing.
Tell us what's going on with you, and then, you know, we'll probably address it on the show. If you've got like a silly story about that first time you got high and something weird happened, we want to know about it because we love stories like that.
Yes, please.
Yes, please send it in. We got a great episode coming up for you today. We have a fantastic guest. I guessed. Put a K in desk. Wait. Oh boy, here we go.
You're nailing it. Go ahead.
Here we go. Special guest. I'm going to bring him right in because if I don't, my mouth might explode because I don't know how to do words right now.
Ladies and gentlemen,
a friend of the Way Highway taking his second ride of the Way Highway, music artist with a new single out on Spotify that we're going to talk about today. The one and only William Keesh. Hello.
Hello, hello. So glad to be here.
Yay.
So glad to have you.
Thanks for coming.
So let's jump in hot. First of all, Moonbeams is your new single.
Yeah. It's a new song that I put out, and the track's really fun, and I encourage you to listen to it.
Hell yeah. We're going to listen to it.
Oh, we are.
In a little bit.
Heck yeah. Okay.
Hell yeah.
Sounds good.
But we got to get into our first section of the day, a little segment we like to do called product review. And William, you have a thing or two to say about that as well, don't you?
Oh yeah. It turns out today, actually, I had my first delivery of Nug Club. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of that, but it's this cannabis subscription box that they send you via delivery to your home, and super convenient and super great quality stuff that they sent me. So I'm really excited to try it.
That's amazing. Weed in the subscription-based form. So you're part of a club now.
It's pretty easy to join, thankfully. Yeah. You know, so there is some exclusivity to it. You have to enjoy cannabis, but it's a great little deal to get into.
Hell yeah.
They have membership cards.
You know, that might be something, if they don't have it already, that might be a good option in the future.
They need to do it. They need to offer a membership, make your own membership card, sticker pack that comes with your membership card, and then some fun glittery stickers that just make it a little bit cooler, and a couple of colored pencils so you could just get creative on it, and then wham bam.
Yeah.
Like a thing. And boom, throw that shit on social media. You're welcome, guys. And now you've got advertising all over the fucking place.
Wow.
There you go.
I'm just saying.
Hire her, because she knows what she's talking about.
I just have brains. I have ideas, thoughts. They're always going.
Is it crazy that I want to have a Nug Club membership card just so I can be in another dispensary and be like, what do you mean? What am I talking about? I'm a member of the Nug Club. I think I know a thing.
Card carrying member.
Yeah, card carrying member. A jacket.
Yeah. Jacket, definitely a jacket.
Members
That's
only.
When you hit Gucci members. Level.
Members only with the logo on it.
Yeah.
A Nug Club members only jacket. Oh my God, I love it.
So go try it out.
Gotta try it. What? So your first delivery from Nug Club came. Tell us, what do you got?
So I got this little pre-roll of indica, another pre-roll, and these have stuff infused with them, of course. Ooh. And then I got this acai berry gelato.
Ooh.
Very nice. Ooh. This distributor exotic flower.
Ooh.
Oh. This one's kind of cool. It comes in like two cases. So yeah. You have that case. And then this case. And then some Redwood Remedies. This one is a mix of Sour Diesel, Purple Kush, and Afghani.
That is a mix.
It's quite the mix. That and they all the smell unique. Amazing. And delicious.
I have flirted with different subscription-based purchase things for a while. For a good long while. I get more emails from like Stitch Fix and like all of those clothing box items. I feel like I'm a ripe Nug Club sooner.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely then.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean, you gotta get on that for real.
I gotta get on it for real.
Like right now. they need to hire me too. I've been talking.
Right?
Lots of good for them, right?
You're talking them up. That's great.
That's free stuff.
Yeah,
I love you.
real quick, before we move on from talking about products, I need to say something because my life changed. And in a few we're going to have Cash from Stony Slice LA on the show. But William, there's a place that delivers weed, pizza, and wings.
What?
Buddy.
Yeah.
And it's, where is this place?
It's called Stony Slice LA, and it's downtown. It's near where I live. I've moved downtown, and now it's near where I live, and that's kind of insane.
I was going to say, the view behind you looks great.
Yeah, thank you.
The buildings, it's cool.
Yeah.
So, wow, that's crazy. I've never heard of a restaurant doing that.
It's a game changer. You know, I can't wait to find out more about it from like what I've seen and had. The cannabis is in the oil, right?
Right.
And then I got high on pizza, man.
That's the ultimate epitome of what it means to like cannabis and eat pizza.
Right.
The stereotype that is associated with that. That's funny. That's really funny.
Really funny. It's perfect.
But I also love the craft of like culinary and cannabis combining, because it really is cool and has an art form to it. And
And I got to tell you something. This was really, really good pizza.
Good. That's good.
Whenever I have something that is a cannabis edible, I always go back to the beginning. And I've talked about this on the show before. Let's talk about it again. I go back to the beginning when it was a bunch of schmucks standing around a stove trying with like ground up flour, just like trying to cook it into melted butter. And it was awful. And then we were like straining leaves out. Oh, it's a whole new ball game now.
I mean, they've really, especially with technology and you know, all the stuff that you could do with food without cannabis being infused with it already, you know, now you see like seafoam flavored whatever, you know, those highest rated restaurants, but that's crazy. What's the name of that place again?
Stony Slice LA. Check it out.
Very cool.
Check it out. And Way Highway listeners, make sure you listen every week so you get to the Stony Slice episode and know what's up.
Let's listen to your song.
Let's listen to Moonbeams, and then we'll be right back. I want to talk to you about how it went down, the production of the track. And we'll be right back with more Way Highway and William Keesh. This is Moonbeams.
I never get tired of this. We'll be right back.
this voice right here is Sean.
I'm Kristen, and with us today is our special guest, William Kish.
Yo.
Okay, so that was awesome.
Moonbeams.
Thank you.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
Please. That was sexy.
Oh. Spread the positivity. Spread the love.
That feels good. Yeah.
That was sexy.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Awesome. So tell us about Moonbeams. When did the production go down? When were you working on this?
Actually, last year, in around, I want to say, it was like a month into the pandemic.
Okay.
And I went up to Big Bear, a family friend of ours, has a cabin. He lets me go visit every now and then. And so I took my gear up there and stayed for like 4 or 5 days. And while I was there, it started snowing the day I worked on the song, and it like snowed me in basically, which was so cool. Cause I had like pretty much developed the whole idea of the song with a lot of the production already within that day. And, it was just a really cool like environment to be in while writing. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That is so
cool. Love that.
I love the idea of like snowed in Big Bear producing something.
Yeah, it was super cool. I had a lot of my gear, if not all of it. and it was set up in a way, you know, with the furniture, and the carpet was like 70s shag carpet, and it was like a classic, like, I don't know, cabin wood. But just the right amount of amenities, you know, it's basically everything you need.
Super cozy
fireplace. So yeah, it was the vibe, as they say.
Cottagecore.
Yeah. Do you think that contributed to the sound of the song?
I think so. Yeah, because there was an element of displacement from like the world almost, because of how everything was at the beginning, and how I live in such a big city. And whenever I was making it, I was just imagining myself at like some disco jazz nightclub in space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a futuristic dystopia type thing. And like, I could see the moon shining so bright when I was working on it at night. And it was like, it was just a cool feeling. And so I kept that in mind. And then whenever I started, I made a visualizer for the video, for the song, which shout out to Average Cowgirl. She shot the video and edited it.
Cool. Yeah.
So it's kind of cool, like night drive vibe to it, because I worked on it a lot in terms of mixing and production, and just kept changing things as one does. Mm-hmm. And whenever I'd go out on these night drives, I'd listen to the mixes of the different tracks I'm working on. And that one specifically just had such a night drive vibe to it that that's where the idea came from. So yeah.
Oh man, it is such a night drive song. I want to at some point go to Malibu during the day and drive home at night listening.
Oh yes.
Drive back up through the canyon.
Yeah. Listening. Oh man, definitely would fit. Sure.
Yes. I'm interested because it's funny. This is going to come back around later. But when you're making music, what comes first for you? Like in terms of the music, is there like one instrument that it starts with or lyrics first? How do you work?
It's rarely ever I go into something with words that I'm specifically trying to write for. It's usually I just start with the music and then I'll come up with melodies over whatever chord progression or beat that I'll do the melodies. Mm-hmm. And do like a bunch of different melodies and kind of choose for what fits the best. And then I start choosing what instrument to what melody and what melody should be a vocal. And then whenever I'm writing words for it, I'll go back through my old notes, or I'll be writing at the same time while going back through my old notes, just new things that I'm trying to inspire. Because whenever you're like trying to think of new things, it's kind of like fishing for ideas. And whenever a fisherman goes out fishing, some days he won't catch anything at all. You know what I mean? That's worth the catch. You know, you'll catch a boot or something and reel it in. Okay, so that's not good.
Yeah.
But the point is to go out there every day and fish and want the ideas to come to you.
Yeah.
And that's how you get them. So
right.
Totally. You like build like you set it up for success. And even if it doesn't like come, like I know as like a writer, there are times where I'm writing a script and like, I know formulaically that like, fuck, there should be a joke there. But right now my brain's not being the funny. So I'm just going to write a temporary joke and I'm going to put that in there.
Yeah.
At least something's in there. So I know that the next time I need to go and like really invest in that.
Yeah. The rewriting is really important part of it for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's why whenever I went out fishing in Big Bear for the ideas, it was just like a spot where no one was going out to fish. And so that's maybe a part of why, you know, I really liked that particular idea.
Right. But, yeah. Yeah. I do this thing when I'm writing to keep with a metaphor going that I have an idea and then I write like the first 9-10 pages easily, just like, boom, it's out.
Yeah.
And then I stop and can't start again. It's crazy. I have the beginning of like 5 different things and have no idea how to continue any of them.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, do you do this thing where you go back and read them over and over again and like what, I don't know what to change for them?
Yeah. Ooh, but the other problem too is I go back to read them and then I'll hate them.
Right.
I'll go back and I'll be like, oh, this sucks. And then I'll put it away. And then I'll go back to it and be like, what are you talking about? It wasn't that bad. And
like, yeah. It's interesting because I heard, you know, Skrillex, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apparently what he does sometimes is he'll make a song or like write an idea for a song now. And that's the day that he does it. And then he puts it away for 6 months and doesn't go back to it for 6 months. So I'm wondering if you tried that with a script.
Interesting.
If that might change things up a bit.
Right. It just actually, even just that story gives me confidence knowing that a successful person is maybe does the same thing that I do.
Oh yeah, for
but
sure.
But has the follow through to then finish the thing. And,
well, you know. I guess he has more of a confident decision on whether or not to go forward with the idea. Cause I feel like that's what I share with you a lot of times with songs. I don't feel confident enough to continue them. I'm like, this is not that great. You know, why am I continuing to spend time on this?
Yeah.
But
do you feel that all the way through or do you flip flop? Cause I'm a huge
flip-flop.
Yeah.
I flip flop. Yeah,
we're the same.
but I think that's because I get too close to something, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so that might be similar to your situation. You're too close to it. Maybe you feel.
Well, I think oftentimes I find it hard to take me out of it. Mm-hmm. And what I mean is like, sometimes you just have to write a script and you have to write a script. And even if like, you're like me and you're an actor, you need to write a script without you in mind because it takes you away from it. I finally started writing a pilot for an animated series, not even thinking about myself as any of the lead voices. And it did become more easier. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I need to try writing a script one day.
Yeah.
I know, by the way, Wee Sam says hi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if you know this, but he just finished one of his first script with his friend a couple months ago.
Fantastic.
And they've been pitching it and stuff. Yeah. And it's just impressive to see a script for an episode, let alone 20 episodes worth of a show or 30 or 50. You know, it just boggles my mind how people can write scripts, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I recently started taking a class at UCLA Extension because I had never taken a writing class before. And I had written and submitted for like competitions and scripts that I felt really strongly about, but I'd never had like a background or foundation in that. So I took these classes and it's very funny to me now that I was like, holy shit, if I only knew now or knew then what I know now, this was so much easier. Holy shit. Like you can just unlock it. Like you just have to do an outline and then follow your outline. What the fuck are you talking about? Makes sense? How dare you? Like it's so funny. But like after having my teacher just have like a moment and like explain to us like, this is what you're doing so that you never ever have to look at a blank page again. So that like, you know, fundamentally, these are the things that I need to do. And I'm just like, well, this is incredible. I've never had writer's block since. So it's all been coming out really well. So I'm just really super excited and motivated about it. So may I suggest an outline?
That is a great idea. So, you know, sometimes that's trying to think how that parallels with songwriting, because a lot of times there is song structure for sure.
Yeah.
Like an outline, but
I feel like the strongest thing that like, and the thing that might connect it the most is what I mean the most by like an outline is just also finding the thing you want to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the truth. Yeah.
Honestly, the way you were talking about melodies first almost sounds like that might be a version of outline for music.
Yeah, it could be. Because a lot of times that's how I work. And very rarely it's like something just comes together all in 10, 15 minutes. And when it does, it's like, oh, okay, that was real and from somewhere and I wasn't really controlling that. Yeah. But whenever you're like outlining and trying to really craft it, that's what it is. Yeah, it's outlining. Whenever you're trying all those things.
Right. Also, I want to talk about that moment of like, that was from somewhere else. I don't know what happened, because that's how I feel about acting too. When like, I'm really doing it well, whether it be a thing that's filmed, a play or an improv show, I blacked out, right? Where you walk out of the thing and you're like, I don't remember a damn thing that happened, but everybody seemed to have a good time. So let's get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, you weren't there. It was someone else or something else doing it. And you were in the passenger seat and then not in the driver's seat anymore.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've been doing like a voiceover character and just been had them be like, okay, can you give that to us one more time? And I'm like, okay. But like, I was just like not in that moment. So I don't even know what I did. So I'm like, okay, let's go. Yeah, I can do that again.
That was really good. Can you do it one more time? Can you describe to me what was good about it? Because I wasn't here.
Right. And that's how it is when you're, you know, recording a guitar solo or something, or like usually the time when you're not recording or right before you start recording was the best take or the best, whatever.
Totally.
So funny.
And like, works. I just love also how like every single time you record something that you're being creative about, it gets a little better because your brain has had more time to get creative about it. And I just love that about all arts.
Yeah. That definitely parallels with all of them.
It's so funny because I know, and I was just talking about this. I was talking about like being an artist, being an actor, there is like a fourth wall you can put up because legitimately you are separate from your work. Like you have a public persona and then you have the characters that you play.
For sure, yeah.
So you should be able to separate it from yourself and then not get your feelings hurt because it's not you, but it's impossible.
Yeah, I mean, that's a human thing. We're so attached to it, even though we are so removed at the same time.
Mm-hmm. 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 I want to talk to you about something that I did recently. This is going to lead us through a few segments here on the Way Highway.
Okay.
We get to know about each other's impulses, because we're going to talk about impulse purchases.
Ooh.
Because you know the my window, I moved downtown. And outside of this window, across the street on the ground level, I look down at the International House of Music every single day.
Uh-huh.
And the other day I walked in there and I bought a guitar. I have no idea how to play the guitar.
Wow.
How exciting.
That is exciting. An acoustic guitar or an electric guitar?
It's an acoustic guitar.
Okay.
It's a Fender. It's Starburst? What do you call it when the wood is dark red and darker brown on the outside?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Starburst? No, that's a fruit candy.
Starbursts are definitely fruit candies. But I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It's the chocolate M&M coating.
Yes. I by guitar, I meant I bought a pack of new caramel M&Ms. no, but I bought like the first of all the
sunburst. By the way, sunburst.
Sunburst. That makes so much more sense.
Yeah. Sorry, just pumped.
No, thank you. The International House of Music is it's a small business and they're having like a please come in here and buy stuff sale because they were just full of deals.
Mm. Yeah.
Have you started playing it?
Yeah, what are you doing? How are you being creative with it?
So I've got two things going on.
Uh-huh.
One, I've got a 14-day free trial of Fender online guitar lessons.
Oh, that's great.
Fun!
And then I've got my buddy Connor drawing out tablature for me.
Oh, yeah.
drawing out little things to just to try to get chord progression, simple chord progression.
Right. That's nice of him.
Yeah, it's real sweet. It's a funny road though, and it's a thing where like I just want to be good at it now, which is never gonna happen.
You never know. You never know. Because I'm gonna shout out my friend Chris Mitchell. He's a really good magician. He's like a professional magician, right?
Magicians. I fucking love them. Great,
and he's such a cool guy too. He took a guitar 2 or 3 years ago, and he had always had one, but he never really played it seriously. And in 2 years, he's like shredding, jamming.
Wow.
He's really good. So you never know. You might just be picking it up real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, is he
just
using
get ready
magic?
For your just get ready for your
he
fingers
might be using
to
magic.
Hurt. I mean, might be using magic is the thing.
Fair, that's fair. Always gotta ask about the magic.
Kristen, sorry, what were you saying?
I was just gonna say you just be prepared for your fingers to hurt because like pressing down on those wires is something that gets real ouchies.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
And yeah. I was like, yeah, okay. But, and honestly, after like really going at it, I woke up the next day and was like, I feel like I have broken fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I wanted to play guitar really, really bad. So I asked for a guitar for my birthday and my parents got me a guitar and I was so silly. I literally like walked over to my mom and then I didn't know what a chord was. I didn't know how to play it at all. And I walked over and I just strummed all of the like chords and just strummed it several times and went, look, mom, I wrote a song.
Oh man.
And that moment sticks out to me so much because now that I think back on it and how like my mom was like so patient.
Yeah.
Wow. Like so patient.
Wow.
Just like, oh gosh. Thank you. Thank you, mom.
Stupid kid, you don't know how to play a song.
I've definitely been told to turn down the volume whenever I was playing guitar at my parents' house for sure.
Oh yeah. Did either of you two have any of the automatic music making device? There was one thing called the Kawasaki one-man band. Do you know what
I might know what you're talking about.
The Kawasaki one-man band essentially was a guitar that I think resembles what became Guitar Hero, except it's not like you don't hook it up to a game system. It looks like a guitar. It has strings on it, but like it also has a bunch of buttons and stuff.
Yeah,
and you basically can arrange it so when you hit something, it just starts playing. So the first time I ever played a guitar, it just did it itself. So I'm probably somewhat surprised that I can't just hit the E string and have the guitar play Led Zeppelin.
I mean, that would be nice.
It would be
nice. MIDI controller. You can just get a MIDI controller and sync it up to whatever sample you want it to play.
I just go to bonfires with my phone tucked into the strings and then I hit it and then I'm just like, and it's playing folk music, but I just always have to keep it.
How is he getting trumpet
back
sounds?
Turns from everyone? Hilarious.
He only plays the guitar with his back to us. It's amazing. He's shy. Okay, so I want to talk. I scoured Reddit a little bit to find a little bit of a segment we like to call
Story Time.
And for today's story time, I found these three little mini stories. And it wasn't actually what I expected. I was trying to find like extravagant impulse buys. But what I ended up finding is like three little stories that resonated with me for three different ways. And I want to share them with you.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. So this first one is from a Reddit user named Forever Dreaming. And here it is. When I was 16, I was at the store and I saw this teddy bear with no tag on it. I was a little too old for teddy bears, but for some reason I had this impulse to buy it. When I went to the cash register, they couldn't find the price because it had no tag. Since it was the only bear left in the store, she sold it to me for like $5. A month later, I went back to the store and they had a ton of those bears and they were actually $20 each. Well, later, now 29, I still have that bear and his name is Rupert.
Wow.
Huh. And that story is very near and dear to me because I got a bear when I was a child And I still have that teddy bear to this day.
Oh, really?
Bear travels everywhere with me. I am akin to teddy bears.
What kind of bear is it? Is it like a small one, brown?
Yeah, it's like a little small brown bear with a little like a little scrunched nose. It's just very nondescript as a bear, which is actually my favorite thing about the bear. And I named the bear Toasty. The bear's name is Toasty.
Toasty.
Yes.
Not a bad name. Not a bad name.
Name at all. Toasty's had quite an epic journey. Toasty came with me to Emerson College and moved with me out to Los Angeles, like packed into the car, drove to Los Angeles with me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he's very near and dear.
He's very near and dear. And there was a period of time at Emerson where I was taking photography classes. Like I almost got a minor in photography. I just couldn't take the last class. It was actually hilarious and very typical of right. Sean in college. But at the period of time where I was taking photography classes, I would take a lot of photographs of Toasty at parties, like posed in different places of the party in the background, sitting with groups of people, like he was in on the conversation. There was a whole Toasty photo series.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Silly. I love it.
Here's the second one. And for this one, I just have questions.
Okay.
So this is from Reddit user Silhouette Noir. A simple ring. This actually surprised me. It's just a shiny metal band that I wear on my right hand index. I bought it while working in a quality establishment of a liquor store. He's working at a really quality liquor store where people have to groom themselves to look right. nice in the liquor store. Interesting. Okay. You needed to be someone who groomed regularly and keep yourself well, as well as be something of a charismatic salesman. Turns out the simple ring looks really good on me and people really took notice. My boss tried copying it. My coworkers loved the look and customers pointed it out all the time. And the craziest thing, girls started just giving me their numbers. All I did was add a ring onto my day-to-day look. I'm a decently confident guy and not a bad looker by any means, but the difference was day and night. Small details matter, I guess. So impulse buy of a ring and dude becomes just straight up player.
Sorry, I'm buying a ring right now. Hold on.
You know what? Honestly, I've got my friend Jen is always like, you should wear rings. And I was always like, why? I don't get it.
You know, some of my friends wear rings and they pull it off quite nicely. And it's just that little extra thing. It's just like I'm very plain Jane usually, yeah. but a nice ring that'll just set everything off, you know?
Right? That's fascinating.
I love it.
We should do it.
Fascinating. We should get rings. We should go ring shopping. Wait a minute.
And wait a minute, Sean.
Wait a minute.
I'm just a guest today, okay? I think finding the right one that fits your skin tone and your whole aesthetic is important, you know?
Yeah. Because
if it's off, it's going to be obvious. It's got to match, yeah.
It's got to match with everything else, for sure. Yeah. All right, last one. And this is from Reddit user Balloon. My first car, so this is their impulse buy, is my first car twice, but two different times.
Okay.
It's a 1969 VW Beetle. Once when I was 14, I got on an impulse, and the only thing I regret about buying it was having to sell it. Right? It opened a whole new world and a hobby that I love and enjoy. I always will have fond memories of that car. The second time was a few months ago. I'm 20 now, and I saw another 69 Beetle for sale, and I had to have it. I hope to hold on to it as long as possible this time. I almost forgot the feeling I got when I'm around working on one. I have been having a blast putting it back together and getting it going again. Definitely a success impulse buy for me. Not sure if it counts to here. It does count to here.
That one was the best one.
That was the best one. They bought the same car twice, 69 VW Beetle.
Yeah, that's a great story and really, you know, makes you feel good for that person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It reminded me of, so my first car was a 1985 Nissan Stanza, and Nissan doesn't even make the Stanza anymore, but I loved that little blue shitty car.
I'm sure. As would many others, you know, I feel like, these generations, these couple generations in this gap of like the cars made for when you were going to school and driving from the 80s till the early 2000s or so. It's like that type of car that you just will always love because it was your first car or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It had a tape deck and I had a CD player, a Discman that had a connector that was like a thing for the headphone jack, that the other end was a thing that looked like a tape.
And right.
Then you're playing CD to tape deck, which.
Yeah, I totally had that.
Yeah.
I also had my first CD that I ever purchased with my own money, which was the soundtrack to the feature film Josie and the Pussycats. was in my first car's disc changer when I got into the accident that totaled my car, and I was not able to save it. And it makes me so sad to this day because I'm like, oh, I had it. It's so special.
Yeah.
But I still have the jewel case, so whatever.
My 85 Stanza died while I was driving it around in college, right around downtown Boston. Like I'm driving around the public gardens and the hood just started smoke is coming out of it. And a car drove up next to me and in the perfect Boston accent, "Hey buddy, you got a bunch of smoke coming out of the hood of your car." And I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well aware.
You should have acted so surprised. What? What are you talking about?
What do you mean? All right, we got to take another quick break here on the Way Highway, but we're going to come back with William Keesh and we're going to play a game of Way or No Way. We'll be right back here on Adobe Radio.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Way Highway here on Adobe Radio. I'm Sean Cowhig.
I'm Kristen Sanchez, and our special guest today is William Keesh.
Yeah.
I've been having so much fun, guys. Thank you.
Us too.
Thank you.
Okay, so I set up a little game of Way or No Way impulse purchases. So we're going to go down a little list of things and talk about these, like, Way or No Way we've done it, Way or No Way we would, like, that makes us tick, and just talk about things that you might buy impulsively.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. There's very few things that I impulse buy, but we'll see. We'll see how many I weigh to.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Okay.
Very excited.
Number one, as seen on TV. Has anybody ever bought something as seen on TV, either at a store or actually from the television?
My parents have, for sure.
Okay, so Way for William.
But for my parents, but for me, as living in my adult life, no way. I have not. I don't think so.
No way.
Way. Yeah. I don't remember what it was, but it was like a kitchen gadget. And I was like, oh, this does make that easier.
The gadgets. And it's the gadgets.
Yeah. They're so handy. And like nowadays, why not have the thing that does the thing easy?
Why not have the thing that makes the thing easy? I inherited someone I lived with at some point, like vegetable slicer crazy thing.
That
like has the blades and you shove the vegetable on it and then you
mandolin, right? Or some sort of thing like that. Yeah.
Some sort of thing like that, but like, you know, newfangled. So it's got all different shapes. So if you want
to
have star shaped. Yeah, zoodles. Star shaped zoodles.
You know, what I found with those is it's just more dishes where I could just do it all on one little cutting board.
Yeah.
But some of those gadgets look like they are worth it, I will say.
Yep, for sure. Number two, similar but different, random Amazon. So have you gone down a random Amazon hole, high Amazon purchase,
Way.
Yeah, Way.
Oh. Yeah.
Way.
Way. Me also Way, and my latest and greatest is I bought an old timey telescope, thinking it would be super cool to have a telescope.
An old timey one, though.
Yeah, it's like a vintage telescope.
Wow.
Not even a new one. And it's,
you know, tonight the moon is amazing. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, but
no, I'm gonna try to take a look. So the one funny thing about it that's off is it's too short. So like, because it's, you know, it's on the ground, and so like it's not high enough. It would need to be so much higher to get it, like way. I'd have to be like lying on the floor to use it, right?
Gotcha.
So,
yeah.
What I do is I pull the telescope part off and just like hold it like it's a weird.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Like a
just gotta be super still, right?
like a pirate's. But it's a huge telescope.
Yeah.
Not good.
Could get tiring.
could get tiring.
But lots of cool stuff to see in the night sky, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when you can, especially in downtown LA, you got to take advantage and take a look.
Yeah.
It's going to rain for the next couple of days. So I think after that, we're going to get some clear skies.
There you
go. That's perfect.
Yeah. Okay, number three, a car.
No way.
No way.
No way.
No way, Chris. It's like, no.
No, I made a face. I was like, absolutely under zero circumstance. I impulse buy a car.
You could never see yourself randomly walking onto a car lot and being like, I'll take that one.
Nope. No way. Funny story. Yeah. I used to work at a car lot when I was like 15 or 16. It was a really rundown one. Not a great situation. Don't recommend it. Okay. I learned a lot about cars. And I learned very quickly, if you're going to go onto a used car lot, you got to not buy it the first day you see it, for sure. You got to be careful. I mean, just be weary of, you know, have your own people look at it. And
yes.
You know, because there are a lot of crazy characters out there that know how to get you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When my 85 Stanza broke up, I got a Pontiac Sunfire from a used car lot, and it was a terrible idea. The car was a lemon.
Yeah. Yeah. See, there you go. That's a good way of describing it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did put that on this list because I think I have already discovered my midlife crisis car. Yeah, well, because I'm 39, I'm gonna be 40 in April. So
I had no idea.
Yeah, crazy, right? So like I honestly, in 10 years, right around this time, I'll be 49, about to sweep into my midlife crisis, and I see the car that I want already. I don't think it's fully come out yet, but Ford Mustang made like an all electric that has a little bit of junk in the trunk. It's like it looks a little hatchbacky.
Oh.
It's called like the Mach-E or something. And I'm like, that's my midlife crisis car. Because when I was a kid, I wanted a Mustang. And so that's what you do at the midlife crisis, right?
And the fact that it's electric makes it, you know, a little bit more attractive, maybe. Because I'm sure they're going to make it a powerful electric car, especially by that time, you know?
Right. Even the one that's going to be coming out, I think they're making it for now, for 2021. So it should be. It's coming out soon. Apparently all electric, but can still go from like 0 to 60 in whatever, 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Whatever's good for cars.
You know, those cars, I will say there is an attractiveness about those electric cars that can go fast, and like Tesla and I know Porsche is doing stuff like that too. And I feel like that would be the impulse buy car. It's like, oh, I gotta have that for whatever, you know, demographic or reason you're buying that brand
Next one, plane tickets.
No way. I have to plan that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I've always, I'm a no way as well, but I've always kind of like been jealous of, or like looked up to people who do that, who like look for plane tickets and are like, I just found a really good deal to fly to Paris, you know, 7 months from now. And I just bought the tickets, or like even sometimes longer than that. Sometimes take the leap.
That might be a good idea to do it that far in advance.
Right?
Yeah, totally. If you say it like that, then like, cause like my no way comes from the part, like I fucking love discounts. I love deals. I love shopping for them. Yeah. I love looking for them. I like going on to like Reddit and being like, what's the best way to find the best blah? And like trying to like figure out all the little tips and tricks.
Mm-hmm.
So to deprive myself of that and just be like, oh, I'll just buy the ticket today and go. Yeah. Like, no.
Definitely. you like digging for the deal.
Yeah. 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 I don't believe in purchasing anything full price.
Oh, here's a little small tangent that relates to this because it's hilarious. Do either of you watch Shark Tank?
Sometimes, yeah. Not the newest stuff, but yeah.
Word. I just saw an episode of Shark Tank where the product that nobody, they hated it. They hated it. But what it was it's a service where you fly without any stuff. So like you got a business trip to Vegas. You just get on the plane in LA and fly to Vegas.
No baggage.
Mm-hmm. And whatever you need to wear, the suit, the thing for the pool, whatever that is like delivered to your hotel room.
Oh,
right. But what they hated was that it was like, the whole guys was like, it's saving you from bringing luggage. And they're like, no, it isn't, because I still got to like pack my stuff. So I'm still bringing something on the plane. And then they also recycled the clothes. So like you, whatever you wore, you turned back in and then it went somewhere and was like laundered and given to somebody else. And they were like,
oh, I don't like that. I want my stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to wear somebody else's trousers. That's weird.
Well, yeah. I can bring my own stuff. I'll pay, you know.
Yeah.
I'm flying anyways. Right. I'm going 30,000 feet in the air. I'm going to take my things with me.
Yeah. Totally. And like, what if they like fuck up and they send you the wrong size and then you're just fucked and you don't have clothes for your meeting or your conference or like whatever it
is. Or you look ridiculous.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of different combinations you could go there with the size malfunctions.
Yeah.
Specifically, the female sharks were like, there's no way somebody's just going to send me a dress.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
Number five, Airbnb getaways.
It's like a planned thing again, you know. Yeah. I like to plan it out. That's usually like the last thing, one of the last things I buy anyways. The stay, the flight.
I more and more have been opening myself up to the idea of just like Airbnb, like staycations.
Yeah.
Just Airbnb a house in LA for a minute. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do like browsing Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
I'll browse, all different areas, LA, outside of LA. Mm-hmm. But I never find myself just impulsively.
We're going this weekend.
No. Gotta plan it.
Number six, groceries.
Yeah. I was gonna say at the end, if that didn't come up, groceries, I always impulse buy.
Yep.
Even with the list.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I'm trying to figure out what's worse though. Going grocery shopping hungry or going grocery shopping high. They're very similar, but I don't know which one is more hairy.
I'll tell you what the hairiest is.
Yeah.
Both.
It's both hungry and high, and then you're eating in the grocery store.
The sum is greater than the individual parts there.
Yeah, I will definitely say for me, going shopping while hungry is a lot worse, because I end up buying like more bad choices. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I go shopping while high, I'm more likely to have like a creative thought about like, oh, I should buy some sesame oil too, because that would go really well with that peanut sauce. Like, and just like have a creative like chef moment. And I love those.
Yeah, I do. I gotta say that like Sean shopping high is a little more confused and Sean shopping hungry is a little more irritated. You'd rather have me getting the groceries when I'm confused than when I'm irritated.
Yeah.
Because my confusion will just end up in overcompensation. I'll just buy more of the things rather than don't.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want is incongruent groceries.
Yeah, because the worst thing is having to throw something out because it went bad, you know?
Yes.
That's the worst.
Yep.
But,
number seven, as I did, instruments or other music-related things.
I definitely have had some impulse buys for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That Kristen? Genre of products.
Yeah. This next one, this is my Achilles heel. And that's clothes. And we're running out of time, but I just feel like I can't introduce that and not just offer up this. Fresh off a breakup, like 25, 26-year-old Sean on Melrose walked into a store and just got played by like, you know, sales associate who was like, we need to get you in some designer clothes. And then before you know it, I was in like Ed Hardy jeans and shirts with rhinestones and snakeheads. And they were like, you look great. And then I spent almost $2,000. I maxed out a credit card and it was two t-shirts, two pairs of jeans, and it's like a zip up sweatshirt. It was bad news.
They got you.
They got me. Ah. They got me.
That is an impulse buy.
That was an impulse buy for sure. And you know, much like the thing with the groceries, the clothes spoiled after not too long because I just couldn't wear them. Hey, that's all the time we have this week on The Way Highway. William, thank you so much for being here with us again.
Thank you for having me, guys. I had fun last time and I had even more fun this time, so appreciate it.
And make sure you listen to The Way Highway each and every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. Download the podcasted version wherever you get your podcasts. Rate it, review it. We'd love to hear from you. Kristen, get us on here.
If you'd like to follow Sean Cowig, you could follow him at Sean Cowig. And if you'd like to follow me, you could follow me at Siren16X. And William Keish, where can they follow you?
At Keish Music.
Yeah. And listen to Moonbeams on Spotify.
Hell yeah. And thank you, Dr. God.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg Jenkins.
Greg Jenkins, Nice Guy Digital.
And Adobe Radio.
Thank you, Adobe Radio.
Thank you, Bernie. Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you.
Have a great week. We'll see you next time.